Would you value what the testimony? Let's read up what we got. So this is what we have got as our value. Again, I say this every week. You know, people say this every week. We're working through a set of values, 12 values, that to really let people know what we're about in Woody. And they may be on the website now, actually, but they should be on the website soon. But they're a work in progress, so we're just working through them in preaching. And for people to interact with that and let us know, so we get something together at the end of it all. So testimony, this is the three columns, leader's responsibility, church, and individual. So testimony, we are encouraged by hearing the stories of God at work in the lives of those in Woody and further afield. We create opportunity for the sharing of personal stories when we meet together so that our faith can grow. As a church, we're looking to create opportunities in gatherings for testimony to be shared. And individually, hear this bit, be willing to give an account of how God has been at work in your life. We need to hear from each other. We just need to hear from each other. That's it at the end of the day. We it's part of being in relationship with people. It's not just talking about, you know, the sort of, you know, mundane stuff, you know, the sort of stuff around the edges, but sharing about, I don't like the word journey, it's been a bit hijacked, but it's quite a good word, about, you know, the journey we're on together, and it's amazing how you can be helped in that. And clearly, small groups are best for this, small groups where you share this stuff, because it's an ongoing thing. And, you know, in Woody at the moment, there are not that many small groups, which is why we encourage people to get into triplets and stuff. But also, we want to get more small groups starting. And hopefully we'll cover some of that on the weekend away. And you don't need to exaggerate. You don't need to make it sound spiritual. You just need to say what he's done. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip my reading. So I'm going to skip. Normally, I do like to. So we'll go to just the text. So carry on. Next one. Right, okay, here we are. Yeah, okay, and if you do one more click, hopefully you'll get that. Okay, normally I do like, you know, we give place to the public reading of Scripture, as the Bible says, and I like to do a big chunk of a chapter and take a verse out. But again, because I'm trying to cut the time, I'm going to just focus in. This is the text, really. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This verse has come up a number of times recently. It's so simple, so beautiful. I'll read you two other versions of it, the New Living Translation. Instead, you know, instead of complaining and justifying yourself and everything, that's the but on there. When you're in a hard time, instead of that, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. And finally, the message, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ, your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And do it with the utmost courtesy. I think that nails it, doesn't it? Just that, not just on Sunday morning, but adoring Christ. Christ having that place in your heart. Not a religious, spooky, weirdo thing, but just saying, yeah, Jesus, my Master, you're the Lord. Just walking in that through thick and thin, keep your hearts there. Be ready to speak up and tell him. I love the way he's put that. You know, so often you hear the conversation, it goes past faith and it goes around that, and then you've got this gap. You think, oh, I should, but what if they don't like me? So, and always with the utmost courtesy. It's not your job to try and sort someone else's life out. You just share what Jesus has done for you. Okay, next slide. I really couldn't just talk about the testimony thing without thinking about this whole thing of words. I just got into this this place of just sort of pondering this, you know, the sort of whole thing of words and how amazing they are, and how we need to talk. And this idea, really, that, you know, we've all got loads of words inside of us, some good, some bad. And some of those words need to be shared with others. Others definitely don't. Okay, so let's have a look at words. And I want to start with Genesis 1. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it's really that, right at the beginning of Genesis. I'm not setting out a stall here on what happened at the beginning of the universe. I wasn't there. But what I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit has felt it key to let us know this truth, that God created through speech. God spoke. That's probably one of those things you've got to ponder for the rest of your life, isn't it? You know? There was no light, there was darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He spoke. Thus, sort of pointing out almost right at the beginning, the power of words. Now, I can say, "Let there be light," and nothing may happen. So it's not just about what's said, is it? It's about who's saying it, and authority, and power, and so on and so on. But the word is the vehicle in which that is carried. Okay? Keep that thought of a word as a vehicle for something to be carried. Okay? Right. I think that's a foundational thing. A foundational thing, and I think that's why it's there in the foundation. Right, let's have the next slide. What are these? Sticks and stones. Which could break one's bones, but words, names, will never hurt you. Are you all familiar with that saying? I'm saying that like everybody knows it. Well, I've got younger people nodding over here. I'm looking at my younger reference point here. I'm looking at my millennial band. Cool, guys. Thank you for the nods. Yeah. And do you know why they know it? Because it's an abiding truth. And if you've ever been like me and you've said that to yourself and your eyes are filling with tears and you've got that burning sensation because words have just gone in and just broken your heart and you're trying to tell yourself, "They can't hurt me." And inside you're like, "Oh." This hurts. I don't want to give the whole web something. That line just shows it out, doesn't it? They can hurt. And in fact, bruises can heal. Some of you may not believe this, looking at this white-haired man up here. But in my heart and my spirit, and sometimes in my eyes, I am ginger. I am a ginger. And being ginger is a marvelous introduction to life because you've got to toughen up or leave the planet. So it's like I never had a problem where kids come, "What are we going to bully you for?" Or, "Do you know what?" "Do you know what? It's on your head, mate. It's on your head." So, you know. I was bullied as a kid, and this is what I'm speaking from an experience of this man. This hurts. I'm like, you get to the point where I'd rather them smack me in the face than really put words into my spirit, because it hurts. So words are powerful. That's my point. Words are powerful. See, they can carry that, can't they? They can build up or they can tear down. They can be a blessing or a curse. This is what James is saying. The power of the tongue. The tongue can curse, the tongue can say dreadful stuff, and yet the tongue can be a blessing, which is why it's so hard to control and must be controlled. Words hold power, good or bad. They can be powerful or weak. Now, this thing about the word holding something, I love this expression, this sort of strengthens this. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, they're just empty words"? That sort of sums it up, doesn't it? How can a word be empty? It's because they're just full of empty words. And who do they speak that of? They speak that of people who haven't got the authority to follow through or the means to follow through what they're saying, or where they're using words in some controlling way, like spin doctors. Spin doctors, they speak empty words, don't they? Because they're just trying to confuse you with words. But when a word has power in it, either negatively, as in bullying, or in a good way, such as a blessing, then it can have a massive effect. So the words go with stuff in them, with power in them, with emotional power, or as we saw in terms of Genesis, authority and incredible power. Our own words can trap us. Have you ever said anything you've regretted? I have done that many times. It comes with being gobby. Being gobby carries this terrible sort of almost a curse at the back of it. You say, "Oh man, I was trying to help, and I just made everything worse." And many times, like, why did I say that? But I'm sure I'm not the only one that's done that. But there's also a deeper thing. Our own words can almost trap us. Have you ever been in a situation where you say something like, "They've hurt me, I will never forgive them"? Now that's a vow. That's powerful. Words are powerful, and words that it turn back on ourselves are really powerful and can trap us. We'll come back to that. This the whole point I'm making here is that words have power. They can do damage. All right. Just very quickly, the next slide. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That is so powerful, isn't it? That is so powerful. There's quite a bit in Proverbs about speech. That's a really good one. I like the Passion Translation. Pinch of salt applied. Nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to the souls and healing to our spirits. What he's looking at there is the idea of the bones being deep inside. But it's that sense of how wonderful it is to speak affirming words to someone. Hebrew prayers were spoken out. In Hebrew, the whole idea is you speak out the prayer, you speak out the words, you put them out there. They have power. They have something. There's something happening. There's a dynamic. And the Psalms, as we talked about before, were written to be spoken or sung. The meditative thing is fine, but actually in Hebrew, meditation is speaking very, very quietly and saying the psalm. That's a meditative process in Hebrew for the Psalms, in fact, for the Scriptures. But, so I'm not saying, you know, the silence is a good thing, but all I'm saying is there's an understanding where, you know, where the word comes from, where Proverbs comes from, okay? Right, let's have a quick look at something that Jesus said. So when we get to Jesus, now we're talking about amazing words. All right, quickly through this. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. This is where we go to this stage now. Jesus said, my words are full. See, they contain stuff. They're full of what? Of the Spirit and life. Now that, I found that beautiful and it just sort of takes what we heard before, you know, from creation and through Proverbs about speaking, you know, the good, the honey, and then it comes to Jesus, who, of course, is the complete expression of Father heart, and our example. And so when he speaks, he says they are full of Spirit and life. Now, I want you to look down to the next bit where the bold. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He had recognized that what Jesus said had this power, that Jesus had the power and Jesus had the promise. Now, I need to move quickly on from this, because what I'm trying to do here, Jesus, as you may have worked out by now, was God. And Jesus did things that only Jesus could do, all right? Jesus, you know, commissioned, Jesus had the authority given him, Jesus went to the cross. But his life was an example for what we need to do. So when he speaks words of life, we have been given his authority. He said, go in my name, didn't he? He said, go in my name, go in my authority. So he gave us his authority. The Father gives us the Holy Spirit. And he said, greater things than I've done, you will do. Do you see? So when you look at the life of Jesus, you've got to realize that he is living there as an example and saying, you could do greater things than these. So our words should be full of that life, because we're following Christ and we have the authority of Christ, and he's given us of his Holy Spirit. I'm building all this towards this idea of testimony. Okay? We can speak in his name. Isn't that an incredible privilege? To speak in the name of Jesus with his authority, but not harsh, with his love as well, with his grace. Okay, so let's have a quick look at testimony. What is it? It's to witness to something, to speak an account of what's happened. It's very powerful. Testimony, to testify, is the basis of the legal system. And finally, the root of the word is the same as martyr, which is interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes you speak the truth and you will suffer for it. So that's where the roots meet up. Okay, so let's have a look at testimony. Here we go. The first thing is to witness to Christ. That's what that verse was talking about, wasn't it? Always be ready to give an account. Share your story, even the small things. They can be words of life to someone. You don't know what effect those words will have. All you can do is to deliver it. And so often in this world, we need to know what's going to happen before we do something. There's this risk-averse culture that's so strong. And of course, the web is horrible. You put something on the web and everybody attacks it. They don't even know what it's about. And it's horrendous. And it stops us from stepping outside. And that's called fear. And fear is not good. So we have to feel the fear and do it anyway. We need to share the good news. And the way that starts, if you like, is what was the good news for us? What is this hope in us that we can share? So they could be words of life to someone, as the Holy Spirit takes what you have. You'll just take your bread and fishes or whatever you got. You don't have to wait till it's a banquet. You just give what you've got. And the Holy Spirit takes it, takes the rest of the journey into that heart and puts the power in it. Okay, the second thing, to encourage other believers. It can build faith. When we testify, we're restating what happened. There's a power in that. We're restating something that God did. I remember once we had Steph who's left us now. Steph had a healing in a home group, and she shared it. She had a fantastic healing of her back in a home group, and she shared it as a testimony on Sunday morning. And one of the very few times I just felt in my spirit, there's a gift of faith here. There's faith here right now. And I just said, has anybody else got a problem with their back? And Jeannie stood up and she had prayer and her back was healed. I know other things have come in since then. But it was a yes, wasn't it? It was something that she'd been had a disability for 20, I don't know, quite a long time. A fundamental problem in her spine, and it was healed. And it was following the testimony. So testimony builds faith. This is a massive area that we are just so ignorant of. It builds faith, and it almost like creates again that situation for faith to move. And finally, on the testifying thing, we need to speak out God's promises over ourselves. And I'm finding this is a very prevalent thing at the moment. The Freedom in Christ course is a lot based on this idea. You're testifying what is truth about me is what God's word says about me. And I'm owning it by speaking it over myself. I'm not just regarding it as some dry fact or an interesting book I read. And this is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Because the promises of God have got a power in them. They have scripture. Has got a power. It's the word of God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit watches over his word. When you know, when you're speaking out the word in faith, the Holy Spirit is taking that and is able to work it. Last week I was feeling really, really rough, and I was having all these different things going on. I thought I was maybe getting this horrible cough that's going around. I was really feeling really, really horrible. I got really bad asthma from nowhere, which I suffer from, which I control. And then I had fatigue, like awful fatigue, like when you get post-viral fatigue, that sort of thing, you know, not just needing a nap. And Jan said, well, this is just weird. I had some really key meetings. God had been doing some really amazing stuff. And Jan said, this is just not. So we thought, are we going to pray into this? Okay. And Jan quoted this fellow called Creflo Dollar. Now, I'm not a massive fan of Creflo Dollar. I must admit, he is prosperity foursquare. But be very careful of throwing out babies in bathwater. Yeah, okay? Because there's a power of testimony in there, right? You know, I know he's got jets and stuff, and you know, and I got a Nissan Note, but that's all right, I can cope. But he says this: the fact is, and this is what Jan said over me, the fact is you've got fatigue. The truth is, by Jesus' stripes you've been healed, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And we just prayed into that. And I thought, I need to test this, because I just wanted to go to bed, and I would have been up for hours. I thought, I need to test this. So I tested it by going upstairs on the computer and working on the leadership report for the year. And amazingly enough, after half an hour, I thought, oh, I'm still doing this. And I finished it. And then I went on to a meeting, and I had a real release. And I do believe it was because we got to that point where we had to either just fall under it or testify. I would strongly encourage you, speaking over yourself. When I said earlier about curses, we put those on ourselves. You need to speak those. Okay. Next one. What can you say? Only you can tell your story. Your story is important, and there are people who are waiting for that, and they're waiting for another narrative from that which is going in the world. They need to hear, what is it about that hope that's in you? Okay, banging through. Okay, so we'll come to the response time now, so get ready with it. Okay. The next slide, is there another slide there? Ah, yeah. Okay, so response time. I realize I've touched on some tricky stuff in this, and I'm always aware that when you say that, it can bring back stuff, and it may be that the Holy Spirit's bringing something to mind that you need to forgive someone, or you need to be forgiven for, or you need to forgive yourself for something you have done. So that's the first thing. That's the sort of pastoral ministry thing, and then people can pray into that afterwards, if that's the thing. Right, but here's some tips. Practice your testimony, you know, particularly if you're thinking of your story of when you came to Christ. Practice it. Get it down to a sort of, you know, punchy thing. See it as a useful tool. Get it down to, you know, just think, oh, and then I, no, oh, no, it was before that. No, I saw this guy. No, I think his name was, no. Anyway, I got saved. You know, show them a bit about your journey, because everybody's got this different journey. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities. Ask him. You do not have because you do not ask. That's scripture. It's not me. Just say, God, give me an opening. And if I mess up, forgive me and give me another one. And speaking of opportunities, here is one right now. So I'm going to pass back to Marv, who's going to guide us through this bit. Cheers, mate.